Welcome back, everybody, to Hard Hat Talks, the podcast where we dive into the world of construction, innovation, and business growth. I'm your host, Samuel Velasco, and today we're here with Peter Pekala. He's a foreman for Ace Avant's concrete specialty division. So yeah, if you want to just say, hey, Peter.
How's it going?
Yeah, so how long have you been a foreman for Ace Avant?
So, at least 8 years right now. Yeah. Yeah, 15 years for Ace.
What got you into concrete?
So I was actually hanging around Ace as a kid. I was always like coming around to the shop and actually like messing around on the heavy equipment, blowing the horns on the 18-wheelers and stuff like that. And so I kind of just grew up around it. Because, you know, my dad, he's been with the company for like 36 years. So, but yeah, I just kind of followed footsteps. So
for the specialty division, you guys do like concrete fillings, epoxy.
Yep. Yeah. Polishing, joint filling. Yep. All that. Yeah. So we kind of think concrete. Ace Avant kind of does it, but specialty, we do a lot of the repair and show type of work.
What makes epoxy coatings unique compared to like traditional concrete finishes?
Yeah, so I mean, epoxy finishes, they can get very design if you're going to do it in like a showroom or a museum or something like that. Now, we haven't really done it to that aspect of design. We do kind of like more like a basic, how do I say it? Like an industrial epoxy. So like right now we have a job and they're doing a static epoxy. What that is, it keeps from like static energy. So there can't be a fire or something like that. So it doesn't spark. I mean, it just lasts a lot longer. I mean, it's a thin layer of material that goes on the ground and it can be there for looks, but it does serve a purpose for wear and tear and oil stains and stuff like that. It's actually at a battery plant. And we already finished that one, but it's a 1 million square foot building and we're not doing 1 million square foot of the epoxy. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but it's a good quarter of the building that they did. So,
Okay.
Just a lot of prep work and time.
What's like a memorable job you've been on? Something that, you know, that was pretty crazy or, you know, any big jobs that, you know, you want to share?
Oh, man. So there's a lot of different memories on jobs. A lot of funny and kind of crazy stuff. One of the most memorable is one of my early days. So specialty as a division, we started with like 8 guys. Yep. And I call them like the OGs. And a few of them are still here, including myself. We were working like crazy hours. So this was at a Caterpillar plant in Athens, Georgia. And, you know, we were so early on, we were working like, it sounds crazy, but we were working 126 hours a week.
Oh, wow. Then.
Yeah, it was wild. But yeah, so I mean, a lot of crazy stuff.
Sleep wasn't a thing when you guys were working on that job, huh?
Yeah. We'd get off at like 2 or 3 in the morning and have to be back on site by 5. And it was just, it was intense. So when we slept like 5-6 hours, it felt like 10 hours of sleep. But I mean, that's always a story that I tell some of the new guys when they come in, that it's not like that, but that's where it used to be. No, I mean, this week, yeah, I've already worked Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then tonight, well, I guess today is Wednesday, but tonight we're leaving to go to Miami at like 2 a.m. So, you know, that'll be about a 13-hour drive. And then we'll be working a 24-hour shift and then driving back after that.
What are you guys doing over there in Miami? What you guys got going on?
So this is a quick one. We actually have 3 trucks going down there. It's about 12 guys. And we're doing two shifts. It'll be a day shift starting from 4 a.m. to like 4 p.m. And then the second shift will come in and take over. But we're doing just some concrete repairs. They have like, the best way to explain it is, you know what a Roomba is. So it's basically a Roomba, but like in a big size. And they go around and pick up the pallets and bring them to like a certain area. And then people unload them. So when those things turn and rotate, they dig into the concrete, and over the years they keep digging in and digging in.
Yeah.
So now we're going in on their shutdown day and we're going to do as much repairs as possible. So
is that for like I mean, you don't got to give any like, you know, major details, but is that for just like a corporation that's pretty big?
Yeah, I mean, it's a Amazon facility.
Oh, it's Amazon where,
Yeah,
okay.
yeah.
That makes
Think it's a
sense.
3 or 4 story warehouse.
Oh,
So it's
wow,
pretty,
really?
yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That is pretty crazy. You guys are gonna
It's
go and just be there for 24 hours straight.
like when you check in, it's almost like going through TSA at an airport. Like that's how many people, they got a whole check-in system and security, and you got to walk through the metal detectors and everything. It's pretty interesting. We've done it a few times, but when we went the first time, it kind of catches you off guard.
Yeah,
But
yeah. No, absolutely, man. You guys hope everything goes well at that
appreciate it.
job. What's the importance of joint filling and concrete repairs? Like, why joint filling matters in concrete longevity?
Okay. Yeah, so they make so many different joint fillers. I mean, even down to like exterior caulking. I mean, that's a joint filler. So inside the warehouses, you have your concrete joints just everywhere. And so the tires on forklifts, depending if they're bigger or smaller or how hard the rubber is, just over time with the weight of the forklifts, they slam into the joints. And especially if your floor is moving, because we've been on a few and you can hear the forklifts coming down the aisles because they're just slamming the joints. So joint filler, it depends on what you have to do, but normally if you go in there and you fill the joints, you're protecting it. Because if you don't have joint filler in it and it's slamming in, it's going to blow the joints out. Like there'll be joints that are like, originally it was like only, 3/8 wide, but now they're like 2 inches wide because it's just been destroyed.
Okay.
And then you have to go in there and cut them even wider. And then that's a whole joint repair. You have to put a whole different material in there and then re-honor the joint and then fill it with joint material.
I'm sure you've done many shutdown jobs before. I want to go back to that real quick. So, like for shutdown jobs, what are like the most important things you got to look out for when doing those? I know it's like a certain amount of time. You got to get finished with the repairs. But what's some like key advice you want to give to like, somebody that's, going to a shutdown job or, something, a company that's, starting those, I guess you can say.
So I guess first off is like the expectation on how much they're gonna get done in whatever time they're giving you. Say you have a 24-hour shutdown, and if your material takes like 8 hours to cure, you need to plan like making sure that your material is in and then that it's up and taken care of and the area is clean before they reopen. So that's the biggest thing. But at the same time, if they're expecting to get, I don't know, let's say 300 repairs done. I mean, sometimes that's just not feasible. So they need to know that expectation and you need to know their expectation. But yeah, I mean, go in with, I would say be safe and go in with a few more guys, a little bit of extra material, extra tools just to make sure, because everything breaks every time you get out there, something will work at the shop and then it won't work when you get out there.
For sure. Okay. Yeah, that's some pretty good advice to give somebody if they're working on a job like that. So you've been doing this for a while. So what are some of like the biggest mistakes people make with concrete repairs?
Color is probably one of the biggest ones. I mean, I've had a few jobs where like they want, all these patches done, and it might be before the walls are up or the roof is up. So you can put some patching in and it might look gray like when you put it down and it blend in really nice. But then 3 days later, because the UV ray from the sun, it'll turn everything green or yellow. So we've had a few of those where we've had to go back. But they make a lot of packets or color charts that you can bring to the job and show. But then again, you'll get people that like want, a very specific color that doesn't even, it's a special order. We try to stick with like a standard color packet. Yep. And a lot of times we try to go with a little bit of a darker color. It tends to hide a little bit more. But I mean, a patch is a patch. You're not going to be able to match it perfectly. And if you do, it's going to be rarely. But yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing is just go a little bit darker, because especially when you grind it off, it might be a little bit of a lighter color anyways. So,
So, like, what are the best practices when fixing cracks or damaged slabs?
there's a lot of different ways.
If it's like damaged bad or if it's really cracked, you gotta like just take out the old concrete and then just kind of repour.
Yeah, so if you have a full area, like an area that just has cracks everywhere, sometimes it's not even worth fixing the cracks. But then again, it's like, what is the budget? So, but yeah, I mean, we can tell them, you know, they should probably replace it. You could tell them that they need to replace it. And if they say no, that they don't have that in the budget, they just want the cracks fixed, then you do that. But I mean, in the end, eventually down the road, they're going to have to replace it.
But has there been times where you told the customer, like, hey, this is a bigger problem than what it looks like? Have you guys had to, like, turn away from jobs because you knew it would come back and, you know, bite you guys in the butt if this was what's going to happen if you don't replace the whole thing?
Yeah. I mean, we've given warnings, and then, I mean, we've done sample areas and shown people, like, this is what it might look like. Even, like, with polishing and stuff, we'll do a sample area and tell them, you got six different areas or six different concrete pours. Like, it's not going to look the same in one spot. But yeah, I mean, I know there was a job that they were just looking at and it had hurricane damage, and it was a new build. It was, I think they've only been open for maybe a year, but yeah, the floor was so bad that, you know, we were talking about it. Like, is it worth even doing? Because it would be months. And then they only wanted us to work, you know, a couple hours a day. Because it was a hotel. So it was, I mean, I was hoping for that job because it was in Florida, but.
So I guess that kind of leads up to this next question, like how weather and environmental conditions impact repairs and maintenance.
Yeah, I mean, any bit of water is not your friend with concrete. Like, too much water is, you know, your concrete won't set correctly, or if it rains on your concrete while you're pouring it, you'll have rain slabs, and then that's just a disaster. But yeah, I mean, even with joint filling or concrete repairs, I mean, we'll have areas prepped and somebody will run a scrubber through that, and it just, everything you did that day, you have to redo. So even if you didn't even fill it yet, it's just the moisture, it's, some of that stuff is just so particular, like it'll bubble the material up, you'll end up just not being able to use it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Back when I was working at Ace Savant, I was under Lidio Torres, and he was huge on getting things done right the first time, so we don't have to waste time and come back and repair it. But I'm glad to see that you guys still, you know, take that precaution and make sure you check your work and make sure you guys do it right the first time, so you know you guys don't have to come back and, you know, waste time, waste company money. You know, it's just a mess whenever you have to come back to a job site.
Yeah. I mean, and it's still going to happen no matter what. I mean, when you get new foremans and stuff too, like I just trained up one guy and I told him, I was like, I mean, you're going to make mistakes. I mean, that's how you're going to learn. I mean, you're going to learn time management. You're going to learn what not to do and what to lit. Like, warn the supers or even a couple of days ahead and making sure you let that company know, don't do this or don't do that before we come in there. So
if someone's looking to get into the concrete industry, what's some advice you'd give them?
Yeah, so, I mean, I definitely think...
Let me say that again. Somebody that's looking to advance their career or move up in their career in concrete. You know?
Yeah, so like I was just saying, I just trained somebody into a foreman. But the biggest thing that, you know, we look for, and I guess this can be advice, is just we need somebody that, you know, isn't going to get too heated all the time. They're not going to lose their composure. Yeah. And somebody that isn't going to just sit around and wait. Like, that's the biggest thing, is we want somebody that's taking initiative. Like, if I have to sit there and tell you every day, hey, if you're slow, go grab that broom or go take out the trash or go, you know, maybe go find an area for us to do if I'm busy. Like, we want guys to step up and do that. And that shows us that they're a leadership or foreman position, that they can handle that.
Yeah.
I mean, you got some guys just aren't built for it.
Yeah. They just come for the paycheck. They don't want to, you know, grow to that leadership position.
Yeah. If I'm asking one of my guys, like, hey, can you drive or can you go do this or that? Like, and it's short and it's last minute, and they're always saying no, like, I'm not going to do that, or, you know, I'm going to quit. Then we're not going to look to bring you up or give you a different position. We're just going to keep you where you're at.
Yeah.
So,
what are like the three lessons that, you know, you would give somebody?
You don't deserve, like, everything, I guess you could say. Like you have to work for what you want. If you want that position or if you want to get further ahead, you need to work for it. You can't, they're not just going to give it to you. I guess as a foreman, you'd learn pretty quick that you have to figure it out. And I've kind of passed that down to my guys. Like, if you can't do something, instead of coming to ask about it, try to figure out a new way. Try to solve that problem, deal with it, and then move on. Get it fixed and move on. Don't just stop. Like, if something's not working out right, don't just sit there and just give up on it. Just keep moving forward and trying to figure out a new way. Try to figure out something to make your job easier or make it not as labor intensive on some tasks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, granted, I mean, you're going to still make calls to somebody to ask questions, but yeah, I mean, if you can call your foreman or call your PM less, I mean, that's taking a headache. That's taking stress off of them. That's the best way. And I told my guys, like, they might not look at the same. And that's, again, that's that mentality that some guys don't have is do what you can to take it off me. That way I can manage other stuff or worry about either the scheduling or worry about timekeeping and material. If you can do this right, I'm not worrying about what you're doing. If I'm not bothering you or telling you or barking orders at you, then you're doing it correctly.
No, that definitely does make sense. From the whole 15 years you've been doing this, you know, is there a story you want to share, like where, you know, you had to like step up or you
Yeah, I mean, there's one in particular that stuck with one of the guys that I used to have. We were trying to train him into a foreman, and he ended up not liking the travel. So I mean, I guess that could be some advice, is know what you're going into as a job. Like, as a foreman, I know I'm going to be traveling. Do I wish I was home more? I do. But at the same time, like, this is the career that I chose. I accept that I'm going to be on the road. I mean, some guys, they realize they don't like that. And which is perfectly fine. I mean, I understand that. It's not for everybody. But yeah, I mean, there's been jobs where all my guys have been like, this is stupid. You know, we're leaving. Like, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, we're not leaving. I'm like, we're going to sit here and do this. And there's one in particular that I think of, because that laborer at the time, he came up to me after he quit and was like, I understand why they have you as a foreman. And he's like, because I would have left and I wouldn't have done that if I was in charge. And it was, we had a rain, we, so we were helping the pouring crew out, and because we were slow on our end. So I was like, well, I was like, we're going to go work. We're going to go help the pouring crew. And they knew that we could run the concrete saws. So they poured all day long, and it started downpouring while they were finishing. So they were like, I don't know, 20 hours in. And so they called us and they were like, hey, like, we can't do anything else. We need you to come in and cut the concrete. So it was like 1 in the morning, and we went in there, and I'm talking like no roof, and there was like inches of water on like a brand new concrete slab that was still kind of, and they wanted us to cut the joints. It was downpouring. So we all went out there, and you know, we were soaking wet. We had headlamps and we had concrete saws, and you know, you can't really pop a chalk line with 2 inches of water. But my, you know, all my guys were, they were all mad, but I was like, we're going to do it like as best as possible. And I told them, I was like, let's just focus on these ones. And I was like, I'll pop it and you guys cut, or like, just try to focus. But yeah, we didn't have any lights out there other than our headlamps. And yeah, it was crazy, but we ended up cutting it, or majority of it. We cut until the saws broke. We went through 4 saws. They were just flooded with dust and just all caked up. But yeah, I mean, we ended up getting it cut, but my guy quit after that. He was just like, he's like, I'm not doing that type of stuff. But yeah, I mean, that was a crazy one where it was just like, you got to keep pushing, because you know, you try to do your best. You don't want to let them down. You don't want to lose the slab or cause it to crack or something like that. But yeah, I mean, there's a few.
Yeah, it seems like that one you really stepped up. You know, 1 in the morning, raining, can't really see anything, no lights. I mean, that's a situation where, you know, not everybody would be able to, you know, do that type of job right there.
Yeah, I mean, I look back on some of them and just laugh. I mean, there's stories for days. I mean, with 15 years, it just goes on. I mean, even to the point where, I mean, you end up getting so close to some of these guys, like they almost know more about you than like some of your, I don't want to say your family, but yeah, to a point, like you're, I mean, you're with them riding in a truck, you work with them, you go to the hotel, you sleep in there with them, you know how they sleep. I mean, I'll smack my guys with pillows to wake up because they don't get up in the morning, like, but yeah, I mean, there's been the hotel situations, those can be crazy too. I mean, there's been instances where I've had a guy throw tacos that were in tinfoil in the microwave
Oh,
and
dang.
catch the microwave on fire.
No
Yeah,
way.
it
That's
was,
wild.
yeah, there's been plenty of, and that was after getting hit in the face by a shovel that day.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. I feel like that's
Yes.
like, but it's like common sense, you know, you can't put
Yep.
tinfoil in a microwave.
Yeah, I dragged them out and they hit the floor and the carpet caught on fire.
No way.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, there's plenty of crazy moments, but.
I know you have your photography business as well. How is that
Yep.
going?
That's not bad. I don't do too much, like, I should say, profitable wise. Like, I don't really do too much work for people. Like, I travel a lot, so I'll bring my camera, like, this weekend or tonight when I'm leaving. I'll bring my camera down there. And I mean, we'll be in Miami. So, I mean, that's like opportunity for automotive photography, like central. Like, that's just nice cars and stuff down there. So, if I get a chance, I'll go explore and take some pictures. But, yeah, I mean, I've taken pictures for Ace. And then one of them, I think you saw that, it got put in the magazine. And then, yeah, I mean, I'll just take pictures randomly. And when I travel to Florida for vacation, I'll offer the rental car company that I'm, or the people that I'm renting the car from, I'll ask them if they want to, you know, trade services. I'll take pictures for their listing for like a $10 rental of a AMG or something. It's crazy.
No, that sounds fun, man. That sounds fun. So, do you have like any, like maybe any final thoughts before we start wrapping this episode up?
No, I mean, just, I mean, concrete's always, there's always something changing. I mean, everybody has the same kind of equipment. It's just a different name for the most part. But yeah, I mean, with polishing concrete, I mean, that's a whole another level. It gets into wet polishing and dry polishing. I mean, everything just takes time to learn. There's so many different materials. You're not going to learn everything. That's advice I give to the foremans and the guys. Like, when they're trying to become a foreman, I'm like, I would get the question of, how do you know so much about the materials, or how do you know all the steps and what to try and what not to try, when to add water or add sand? And I'm like, it just comes with the time. I mean, you just learn, like, you learn through mistakes on the job. And I mean, and like I said, 15 years, there's been a lot of different mistakes. And I mean, and we started, like I said, with like eight guys, and now we got, I don't know, 50 or something in specialty. And we started when I started, we did all the concrete demo, like the cutting and removing slabs. We did pouring back some of the slabs. We did the joint filling, the polishing, the epoxy. So we did all that. But now we're a little bit more divided. We have kind of a foreman that's good for exterior caulking, interior joints, polishing, wet polishing, epoxy crews. Then we have like whole different cutting divisions now. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you kind of just learn as you skip around. I told my guys too, when you're slow, go, don't just sit at home. You know, I get you probably want hours. You may not want to go help the pouring crew, but you're going to learn if you go over there. You're going to learn how to finish concrete, and that'll come in handy one of these days over here. So, I mean, that's the biggest thing, is just, it's just a never ending of learning and learning from your mistakes. So.
No, absolutely. It's one thing if you make the mistake over and over. I mean, that's where it becomes a problem. But I mean, if you make a mistake one or two times and learn from it, I guess that's
Yep.
just it's like a valuable lesson that, you know, nobody can teach you.
Oh yeah. I guess the one other thing that I think of right now too is, don't be afraid of trying to do something. I've run into that a lot. Like, somebody might be afraid to use a hand grinder or hand polish or to pump material, and I'm like, you're never gonna get any better if you don't try it. Like, I'm not gonna scream at you if you mess up, because I know it's your first time or your second time running it, but you, in order to get better, I mean, you have to try it. So.
Absolutely. Well, Peter, thank you for joining me today on Hard Hat Talks. This was a really good conversation.
Yeah.
I appreciate you joining us today, Peter, giving your advice and your insight of the concrete industry.
Well, thank you for having me, and maybe we'll go more in depth on some of the other topics at some point too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. Thank you guys for tuning in.